from the Mind of El Rico Studios.
It's the top 1%.
Four friends from Escambia High School in Pensacola, Florida, give their takes on family, relationships, sports, entertainment, and business. Your host, CEO, director, writer, producer, El Rico Tunstall, along with business and marketing expert, Alex Ennis. We got rap artist and actor, Crook, a.k.a. Austin B., as well as cool, never the fool, Mr. Payton Man himself, that boy there, LG. It's the top 1%.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Top 1% Podcast. I will be hosting today. I am CT Alex, business marketing expert and all-around good dude. I am here with my co-host, first and foremost, Crook, recording artist, all-around good dude, my man.
What's happening, world?
And, of course, we have the czar, the head of the table, and everything else, writer, producer. I can keep going, my man.
Drum roll,
El
please.
Rico Tunstall. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here in Pineapple, Alabama. Thank you.
All right. So, let's just get into it. Big news headline, Diddy. A.K.A. Puff Daddy, A.K.A. Diddy, A.K.A. P. Diddy, A.K.A. a lot of A.K.A.s. We all know him. We all loved him at some point. And he is in a lot of legal problems going on right now with him. A lot of it involving sex trafficking, stemming from as early as the early 90s. The state of New York.
Serious charges.
Yes, sir. The state of New York now has what's called a victim crime law, in which, to a certain degree, you can now sue people for things that happened that are past the statute of past the statute. So, but now there's been a lot of things that have resurfaced. Obviously, a lot of us have seen the Cassie video, and a lot of people are coming to resurface that are saying that there've been a lot of these type of parties called freak offs that involve a lot of interesting issues. So, guys, Crook, what's your take on this, man?
Man, I saw today that they have text messages. Just like you said, going back further back from 20-something years ago, you know, there's been more and more women coming out now too, also saying, Diddy was physically abusive to them and stuff too. And, you know, so many different walks of life. And he's got a few different guys lingering on in there too, with lawsuits hanging on in there, just outside of everything that we see now with the criminal stuff going on. So, man, it's just, like we said on the Top 1%, we kind of discussed this earlier in the show, an earlier episode about, is Diddy done? Is Puff Daddy over with too? And I know from my point of view, and I'm like, well, yeah, as far as an entertainer and him being in the limelight and things like that, yeah, it's over for him, but he can still move on with his money, you know, pay whoever he's got to pay. But now after this situation, it's like, man, he is not getting out. And yeah, he's just not getting out right now. I mean, there's no bond for him. And like we discussed also was, there's two judges, and both of the federal judges said the same thing, that he is a threat about intimidating witnesses and stuff. So that's like, man, that's kind of and then you add in the charge I seen today too with racketeering.
Yeah.
Oh my
Rico,
goodness. You know what I'm
Rico,
saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rico charge. It's like, man, so who else is in on the Rico charge? It just can't be just him just by himself. So, man, I mean, it's bad, you know? So Rico, what's your opinion on the subject?
Wow. I mean, like, I really feel so bad for all the victims. I'll just say that first, for every victim who's going through currently right now, who might be listening, just know there is help for you. So please reach out to a local source or tell someone what's going on, because that shouldn't be taking place. So if you see something, say something, as they always say. So my thoughts and prayers go out to every victim who was a part of this case, who was actually hurt in some type of way. So that's the first thing. Second thing is disappointment. Disappointment in a man who has fallen from grace, you know. Somebody who I personally held in high regards as a hip-hop icon. somebody that I kind of looked at in the music industry as a pioneer for the things that he did with the Bad Boy label, taking it from, you know, him being a party promoter all the way to the stardom and you know, the way that it turned out. So
Owning Sean John, the clothing
line, the alcohol.
This
moment. Right.
Revolt. Like, I believe he had Revolt as well, a piece of that. He actually transformed. Go ahead, what are you saying?
I was gonna say the music conference is Revolt that I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're part of is actually, you know, because of what he did. So,
and he even technically kind of revolutionized television as well with the Making the Band series.
With the Making, I remember that first season. I remember that.
Yeah, man. So I just want to sum it all up is disappointment for this man who is now being chopped down in front of the whole world. And once they get a hold of you, man, and the media has you, the predicament he's in, and you can kind of tell that he knew the end was coming because he went back to New York. They say he was sitting out there sunbathing in Central Park, like taking pictures with fans because he had dinner with his family because he knew the end was coming. So disappointment to see the fall from grace in front of all of our eyes. We've seen it, you know, before with Bill Cosby. We've seen it with R. Kelly. Going even far back as when they tried to put Michael Jackson through
the same. Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson, James Brown was doing this back in the day.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a lot. But disappointment is definitely where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I mean, really my take in it is, you know, just piggyback off you, Rico, you know, disappointment, being let down. And just seeing this person who, me just looking at how many, you know, hands he's had on so many things, you know, within entertainment, it has been like an amazing journey that he's been through, that he's had. And I mean, you wonder what type, you know, and, you know, we assume everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Let's just put that out there first and foremost.
Right.
Yeah. We have to. But just seeing, because, you know, all of us see, you know, think of, you know, celebrities as being in this certain type of pedestal, but we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And
that's correct.
And yeah, and all the things that a lot of these individuals do and, you know, in their private lives. And I think that the part of it to me is not necessarily what he does in his private life. Is that it was abusive, is almost like, well, not, it's totally like a Harvey Weinstein type of situation, that you're using a position of power and influence to get to use it. It's almost like using your powers for evil rather than good, you know, where you can bring up and prop up the next generation. You're using that as kind of like a bait, that you're using your power as bait to exploit people as opposed to using it to bring up people. You know, we always talk about bringing up the next generation on whatever field we're in and propping them up. And from, you know, if everything is the way it is, the way it seems at least, he was using his influence to not just keep people down, but also to exploit them for his, I'm not going to say perverted, his different
power,
desires.
Power influence.
Yeah,
power influence. That's it. And you know, the rumors about so many different things, not only like his personal life with his sex life, right, has been there, but his bad business practice, like, you know, him signing people to deals and they sign their life away. You know what I mean? There's certain things that we've always talked about too musically. It's like, why does everybody on Bad Boy usually have one album and then their second album is kind of like a flop? And then you never really hear from them again, or they have to get out of a contract, or, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different stories about his bad practices, and you're just kind of wondering. And then these rumors over here about him abusing women over here, but then him over here sexual assaulting men is over here. You know what I'm saying? And then you just start looking at all these things that add up, but kind of like breadcrumbs, and you're just like, this is kind of bad. Whether if he's a person of good character, this still looks bad. You know what I'm saying? Even if somebody is lying on him, it's like, well, it can't be so many different people lying, you know, after all this time. And now we have the court system. And now it's like he's, I seen today too, it's like he's in the Brooklyn jail. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? He's not getting out. You know, this had some popular, they said had some other popular people that's been locked up in that same thing. So it's just like, man,
I think Bernie Madoff was there for a little bit as well. Yeah, the thing is that once you get federal charges, we're not talking about the state, we're talking about federal.
You're talking the federal.
Feds don't go after you unless they got you. They got something, you know, because, you know, they raided. I mean, the way they raided his. The way they raided him in his homes, like I'm talking about, they were on point in Miami and L.A., like in Sink Sink. I mean, they don't do that kind of thing and put criminal charges on somebody with that many resources unless you got to be dead to rights. It's almost like the old saying, if you take a shot at the king, you better not miss, right?
Yeah.
So if the feds take a shot at you, it's a point zero. It's like right, you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another thing too today that I saw too in an interview, his lawyer actually said that Sean Combs believed he's innocent. And we were kind of shocked, you know, me and my parents were kind of watching as we were eating dinner. And he believes he's innocent. Shouldn't you be innocent? Like, there's not a maybe in between this. You know what I'm saying? Either you're guilty or you're not guilty. Yeah, my client believes he's innocent. I believe he's innocent. I'm like, you shouldn't believe in your innocent, man. This is, that's what I said, man. This is bad. Like, I mean, yeah. I feel you too. I feel, you know, all those people that are disappointed, you know, and looking up to him, kind of going back in the day too. So, you know, I kind of think about his children too, because his son was out here fighting, you know what I'm saying, going through rap battles and dissing people and this and this and that and stuff like that. So, you know, they got to face the blowback of knowing their dad once everything comes out in court. You know what I mean? They're going to have so much different things about this is what's going on. And you know, just to kind of elaborate, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know if it has anything to do with this case, but Harvey Weinstein actually today was arraigned again for something else too. I'm like, hold on. The news about Puff Daddy comes out today. And then, yesterday or previous, you know, a couple of days, I was not catching up on everything because of yesterday. And then Harvey Weinstein gets arraigned today in court for something else. And the news didn't say what other charges it was.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, I always say that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And if you kind of look at the situation with what's really going on with Puff, with Sean Diddy Combs, in his mind, the reason why he feels like he's innocent is because he's trained his mind to think it's okay to do what he's done. And that's almost linked back to a mental illness. If somebody truly believes what they're doing, there's no harm in it, you can't tell them any differently. That's it. That's, I just said, absolute power does what? Corrupt absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had nobody to tell him no for almost the past 15, 20 years now. Like, he is a kingpin, a boss. So if nobody's telling you no, and you've got absolute power, now you're standing in front of America on trial, the world on trial. Who can tell you still that you're wrong? Because in your mind, you're thinking, hey, and I'm not defending Puffy at all. I'm not defending him at all. But I'm just trying to get inside of what maybe possibly his mind might be thinking, him making statements like he did,
mm-hmm.
you know, thinking that he's innocent. So,
yeah. So,
but
circling out, let's lighten it up a little bit.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. So, man, this was a really good topic that I thought was really intriguing for me. Now, you hear the saying that little girls always look for a man that's just like their father, and that's the type of person that they gravitate towards in their relationship, their romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. So is it really the same for us? Do we tend to gravitate as men towards women who have some similarities to our mothers? So with that,
I just want to say, man, look, I know growing up,
always looked at my mother and father's relationship and saw their longevity and saw how they made it through every storm, through every loss, through every game. And I seen the strength of my mom kind of hold it down for my dad, who stayed, you know, working in Ingalls Shipbuilding over in Pensacola, Mississippi. We lived in Pensacola. He drove every day for 35 plus years over to Mississippi, like clockwork. 4:30 in the morning, the alarm went off. By 4:50, 5 a.m., my dad was out the door, pulling up at Ingalls Shipbuilding in Mississippi at 7 a.m., never having to worry because he knew back home, mama had it on lock. And mama would cook, mama would clean, mama make sure we got to our appointments. So, of course, when I was looking, you know, at qualities for, and I speak for myself, like for my wife, I looked for those exact same things. I was like, you know, hey, you might not be able to have every single characteristic, but you got to be able to at least exemplify a few of them, because, you know, I could have married somebody who did none of those things, and I would be probably completely unhappy because I wasn't raised like that. Like, my mom went to church. She was fully in church. My wife was fully in church. My mom would clean up. My mom would do, like, you know, make sure the kids straight. My wife does that. So for me, I think I would probably say I lean more toward, yes, we gravitate toward what we were raised on, what we were raised on. And the way you saw your mama kind of handle things and conduct herself, yeah, that influences you, because you look at the woman you with, and it's not good to compare. But you do look at them like,
It feels a little weird. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm going to tie this one up. So, Krug, tell me what you think on this one.
I do agree that some men look for certain qualities in women that they find in their mothers. But yeah, if you're out there trying to look for like your mother and somebody else, like, man, that is weird. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion. But I don't know. It's strange because, like, for me, I like the part that Rico said about mom holding the fort down, right? And I definitely would love to have a woman like, you know what I'm saying, like that, hold the fort down. But then again, I've always wanted to date a woman that's like into like the type of work that I'm into, like entertainment, you know what I'm saying? Kind of understands like the entertainment wave or schedule. So, you know what I mean? I definitely would be able to handle like my mom's personality in another different woman. Ugh, I can't stand that. Sometimes when you just disagree, you know what I'm saying? Just disagree and it becomes like a grudge thing. And then, you know what I mean? It's just like no peace. And it's like, okay, you know. And for me, you know, as we talked about before, too, on this podcast, Top 1% podcast, men, you know what I'm saying? And people in general, I met a woman when I was out of town not too long ago that likes peace. So, you know, sometimes it's all about certain qualities you want, and then certain qualities wanting the women that you see in your mother, you know what I'm saying? The good qualities, and then the negative stuff is like, I'd rather not deal with that. So, I don't know. That's my opinion. Go ahead there, CT.
Man, you know, so when this topic was brought up, I was like, okay, my mom, Michelle, yeah, and trying to think of these similarities, and because, you know, obviously you feel weird about it, but then you're like, okay, context, I know what word it is that we're talking about, and, you know, and comparing those qualities, and the thing is, you know, and I'm kind of the same wavelength as Rico in the sense that looking at how my mom was. Now my mom, she worked full time as an accountant, and you know my dad being an attorney, so they were both career people for a good, you know, good deal of my life. And obviously my wife is a career woman, so there is that correlation in that. And I'm thinking about it, I'm like, you know what, maybe I did. You know, because, you know,
hey, Alex, is your wife, your mother's personalities, are they similar?
That's where there is differences. That's
yeah, but it's characteristics,
right?
Yeah, person's characteristics.
Yeah. And the thing is, and I always got to look at context. My mom raised three boys. Okay, my wife has, you know, basically two daughters and a son. So having three boys, you have to be a little bit more firm as opposed to having girls. That's just facts. So
right.
So in that aspect, their styles have to be different because you have different types of kids. But as far as being loyal, being caring,
nurturing,
mm-hmm. all the things that you want your woman to be because you want your woman to be a good mother.
Right.
That's my wife. So those characteristics that you look for in your mate, in your soulmate, in this case, not only did I see growing up with my mother, but I see with my wife is that she has those same characteristics. So I guess to tie it up, I would say that while it's not something that I like said, okay, you know what? She has to have this, that. It's something that I just like the word says, gravitated towards. It wasn't like this is my list. It's just something that I swam towards without thinking about it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And that's why I love the word gravitate, because you are not really thinking about it. It just flowed naturally towards there. So because a lot of people say they have a list of things that they want in a mate, as opposed to letting God do his work. Let God do his work, because God is going to gravitate you to where you need to be at the end of the day. So
I think a lot of times too, it depends on Alex off of what you're saying. Comfortable, right? Like mm-hmm. you meet somebody for the first time and you're dating them. Like I said, you're filling them out, right. And they're meeting certain characteristics that kind of make you kind of related to comfortability. You're like going like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm a God-fearing man. This woman fears God. You know, she tries to, make sure her hygiene is up. I try to make sure my hygiene is up, And then you think about it, you run it all the way back. My mom took me to church every Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. My mom made sure I brushed my teeth and brushed my hair, stuff that my mom instilled in me. And then I can see those same qualities in her. That makes me go like, wow, this might be a match in heaven. Because you know what? Like, these are some qualities that I was brought up on. And those are characteristics that when I look at my woman, I go like, man. And they're not necessarily saying comparing it to your mom.
Right.
But your mom kind of put some stuff inside of you, instilled it in you that when you see gold, you know to go for the hills and get that gold. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
All right, side topic. Favorite dish that your wife cooks for you?
I'll probably say of all time, my wife made some rutabagas.
What's that?
Yeah. Rutabagas is a vegetable, almost okay. like a turnip almost.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're very delicious made properly, especially you make them with turkey necks. But my wife ended up one Christmas when we were dating. She made rutabagas because she knew that was one of my favorite dishes.
Okay.
Yeah. So rutabagas.
Rutabaga actually looks like a watermelon. That's what I thought we were talking about earlier.
Ah, okay.
See, it really does, but it's a vegetable. But
yeah.
I don't know if vegetarians use that as a substitute, for pork, mm-hmm. pulled pork. But
no,
rutabagas are very good. Yeah.
Healthy. I've never heard of that one. Michelle makes a mean pineapple upside down cake, and that is like my favorite dessert is good pineapple upside down cake. And breakfast wise, she makes this stuffed peanut butter and banana French toast. It's so good.
I've never been a big French toast person.
I love French. I like French toast more than pancakes.
Yeah.
I'm
not even big on like pancakes and the waffles and all that stuff. Like, for me, man, just give me some egg whites and turkey bacon. I might get a side of, brown toast or something like that. But I get the same thing every time we go to IHOP. I don't know if you guys...
Yes, I've noticed that. Yes.
Give me four egg white omelet.
That's what Enrique ordered. And so the waitress is that I was like, I want three eggs, I want bacon, I want white bread,
yeah,
and I want a hash brown, and I just said it like that.
And I'm like, yes, I have the egg whites. Yes. Give me the turkey bacon strips.
Sorry. And a Coke Zero.
You gotta top it off. You gotta top it off. See, I train like my wife and kids when we go out. They're trained now. And I hate to use that word trained, but they're used to.
Accustomed.
Yeah, accustomed. To drinking water. We order water because drinking a soda, that's like extra $2.70 per person. Crook, you worked in food service. So it was like $2.70 a person for a drink, a soda.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be expensive. I don't know about what it is now, but
Yeah. I mean, soda. Like, so that's, you got things, you got four people.
That's
almost like 10 bucks.
Yeah, no, that's 12 to 15, bro. It depends on where you go.
So, my people, they accustomed, like, no, we're getting water, no lemon. All right. If you want to make some lemonade, get your packs of sugar. You keep it lemon. Special occasions, we order, you know, we might be, guys, let's just go wild. Everybody, you know, pick a drink.
When you feel fancy. It's
refillable. That's refillable. Don't get the stuff that's not refillable.
Yeah. No can, nothing on the can.
There you go.
We feel,
you know,
face.
What I hate, dude? Real quick, just want to add this is in the side. Man, like, I never, and the thing about everybody on this podcast know I don't drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have been out sometimes with my wife, like, we're on a special occasion date or whatever. And you know, they walk and be like, yes, would you like a glass of wine? And I'm always driving, so I can never be the one to act. But my wife be like, yeah, give me the. I'm not putting it out there, she's listening. Like, I would love sometime to have a glass of wine. Well, but I can't. Okay, because I'm always driving. You can speak on about parents driving, but we'll talk about that later. You know, dads always drive, right?
Yep. Always behind the wheel.
That's it. Except for Alex. Alex gets chauffeured.
I like to sleep. I'm a sleeper. I'm a napper. I'm a big napper. Michelle want to take the wheels. I'll take a nap.
Right. Somebody like driving. Like, I have that overprotective thing going on. Like, I don't know, I have to be aware. Like, I can't sleep when somebody else is driving. I can't even sleep on a plane, bro.
Oh, man.
I don't know how people do it.
No, let me rephrase that. I can't sleep on Spirit flights.
I've never taken a Spirit flight, so I wouldn't know.
Don't, sir. No, sir.
Yeah.
No, sir. I can even sleep on a Frontier flight, but Spirit, no.
Yeah, Spirit, I refuse. I can't get on that.
Yeah,
I've done American, I've done Frontier, but yeah, Spirit, I've heard too many horror stories.
Yeah,
the Greyhound of the air.
They are all true. They are all true, my friend. They are all true. Wow.
So Rico,
they got 2 flights to Vegas, though.
Yeah, but I can't. Never again.
What'd you say, Crook?
Rico, quick question. Yeah, so you never got went to sleep when you. So your father was driving back maybe from Mississippi going to church service or coming back to Pensacola? Or?
Man, no, I just, for some reason, like, just can't. I can't be like, I'm so alert. Like, I'm just so alert. Even as a kid, like, I've always been alert. Like, I don't fall asleep when I'm moving for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, when me and my wife took the cruise and we went on the cruise for our honeymoon, like, it was, I had to literally take Trazodone to go to sleep.
Now, did you get the Cheers package when y'all took the cruise?
That's all the free drinks and stuff?
Yeah. You
cause you didn't tell me about that until
after
you got back?
No, because here's the thing. You get the Cheers package, and again, I'm only talking for Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
If there's two people in the cabin that are 21 and up, even if one doesn't drink, both have to get it. Okay. So basically, you're paying an additional six, you know, depending on how long your cruise is, you're paying like $60 per day per person.
Okay.
So, but you know, I drink, so it works well for me.
Do they have cruises in January?
So what now?
Is there cruises like in January? Like,
of course.
They are. Okay. Top 1%. You hearing it right here on the show first. Top 1% will be taking a cruise in January, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready. We're going to be broadcasting live from Carnival Cruise.
We don't know where we're going, but we're going somewhere.
Yeah.
We're going somewhere. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to broadcast live from a whole separate location. Absolutely. All together, though.
We don't know the destination, but we know we're going to be on a boat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look out.
All right. Circling out of that. Now, you know what? Fellas, okay, let's say God calls you home. God calls you home, you know, and your wife or your wife, you know, is thinking about getting remarried. Okay. Is there a grace period that you expect or should, or, and let's just say in general, is there a grace period in which there should be like a grieving before moving on into marriage with another individual? So, Crook, tell me what you think about this one.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for, all right, this is an interesting question. So when I see a couple, oh, I'm sorry, when I see one of the two spouses leave, you know what I'm saying, or somebody passes away, right? And then the other one is automatically in a relationship, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? Kind of gets under my skin. Like, how disloyal are you? So if that was me, you know what I mean? Like, I do agree with a grieving period, how long that would be, you know what I mean? 2 years, 3 years, 4 years before you get in, you know? I mean, it depends on how deeply you love that person that you know what I'm saying, that you lost, you know? I mean, now, I wouldn't suggest that somebody just grieve forever, you know what I mean? Get back out there eventually and, you know, heal your heart. But, you know, once that person is gone, I mean, it's there, you know, it's not a relationship. Now, if you're divorced, that's a different, I guess, a different context. You know, everything's got a entire context. So
let's just go off of death.
Straight death is just like, hey, you know what I mean? You gotta take a while. Like, if I was married and I passed away, I was like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know, you know, you're a human being, so you're gonna want some companionship, but hey, wait about 4 or 5 years or something. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. It's kind of, you know, like I said, I thought it was an interesting question. It's kind of difficult for me to answer, you know, being a single guy, but, yeah, just, I mean, like I said, it's just crazy how people move on so quickly to me, more so than, you know, giving themselves time, especially seeing if they have children, you know, children involved in a relationship. So, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's the mother or the father that passes, those children still look like that other person. So, I mean, for me, it would be like, I mean, nah. I was like, nah, I got my babies. You know what I'm saying? I'll just wait till they're grown, or if they're already grown, you know what I'm saying? I'll be single for the rest of my life. And as my grandma used to say, I'll just be married to Jesus.
Okay.
But,
yeah, so, I want to hear what Alex has to say about this, man.
Okay. So I read somewhere that the rule of thumb is the length of time that you're married, your grieving period should be half. So say for example, if you're married 10 years, you should have a 5-year grieving period. And that's just something that I read somewhere. Now, as far as just in general, and I'm just speaking for myself, if for whatever reason something unfortunate happens to Michelle, I'm not getting married again, period. Married. Let me reiterate the word married. I'm saying I will not get married again, period. Okay. So that's where I am on that. But, you know, just
how long before you date, Alex?
Man, you know what? So you're trying to put me on the spot. So I'll say this much, you know, dating, anything of that nature, I don't know. I don't think that there should be a standard time. Now, if your new person is at the funeral of your spouse, that means that you were already with this person. Let's just keep that 100.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Obviously. But, I mean,
just throw it out, what, 2 or 3 years, and then you can date again?
You know what? I don't think that's a standard number, but, you know, if you're talking about just dating in general, especially you got kids, you have kids, you have all these commitments that you have, it's really tough. You know, I don't personally judge anybody, hey, you know, this person's body is cold, how dare you? Because people grieve differently. You know, you don't know how people grieve. Yeah, you know,
I agree.
Now,
so what's the answer, Alex? How long?
It depends on the individual. It, you know,
you,
Alex don't know. Alex don't know. But what I will say is that Alex does not have an exact number.
But you would move on and date.
Date?
Yes, you would move on and date.
I don't know. Like, you gotta understand, me personally, I've been out of the dating scene for so long. I've been out of dating scene for so long, so I don't necessarily know how to talk to females anymore in like a romantic way. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a new language for me, if that makes sense. So it's almost like if I was to go back into the dating scene, whether that's through a death or through a divorce or through whatever, I don't know. Like genuinely, me talking to a female would be weird for me, because it's been such a long time for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me tell you, as a single guy, Alex, it's rough out there, buddy.
I will take your word for it. My friend, I will take your word for it.
Rough out there.
Yes, sir. So E, tell the top one, tell the audience, what's your number? Inquiring minds want to know.
So now, repeat the question for me one more time.
Well, you're trying to stall.
I'm the last one, because I'll make sure everybody here.
So what the czar has to say.
So czar, head of the table, when is it okay, or is there an exact time frame that it is okay to move on as far as dating, marriage, etc., after a spouse passes away?
Well, let me first say that is a fantastic question. Okay. You don't move on.
Okay.
I believe in death. Okay. There is no moving on, especially depending on the way your spouse was taken from you.
That's true.
If your spouse is abruptly just pulled from your life, there is no time period where you can just be like, okay, I'm healed. Let's move on. Let me go ahead and start dating or whatever. Now, if you're growing old, you've been together 50 years and you hit the age of 80 and she's 77 and you've been together for 50 years and she just over time just... okay, you got a few extra years left. Okay, that's something different. But if you're fresh and you're like young and your spouse passes away in a car accident, nah, you don't just, okay, you know what? So a year, 365 days later, this thing you know, and this is what I hate too, because I've seen this. There's actually a TV show called All American where Coach Billy Baker passed away. And everybody was like, you got to move on. You got to get back in the game. There's plenty of eligible people. No, man. When you make those vows and you be like, till, you know, death do us part, I get you on that. But you find the love of your life once. You don't find them three or four times. And if they're taken away from you, like, don't just move on, man. I'm sorry. Like, there's no way that I can condone anybody saying like, yeah, you know what, man, it's been 6 months since she's passed, and I'm just lonely.
So let me ask you this: a person that we all know and heard about, Vanessa Bryant,
mm-hmm.
Kobe Bryant's widow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's no way she should ever be talking about getting remarried or even being seen out. There's no way, man. Nobody is going to accept that.
Yeah,
and whatever dude is coming behind Kobe Bryant,
yeah.
After the Mamba? I don't even think she's 40 yet.
No. She was 40. Younger than he was 22 and she was 16.
Yeah.
When they first met.
Yeah. So they got married what,
6 year age difference?
Yeah. So she might be 39, getting ready to go on 40.
Yeah.
Because he's like 2 years older than us, something like that, I think.
Yeah, Kobe had 2 years older than us.
78.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Man, like, there's no way. There's no way, bro. Like,
so she's LeBron's age, if I'm correct.
Might be. Yeah, something
yes,
like that.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. But that's my feeling, man. Just wholeheartedly, like, no, you don't. Nah. No, yeah. Bro. Ain't no none of that.
Yeah, that's a heck of a person to follow up behind, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way you can go out in public and be like walking around with Kobe Bryant's widow.
Yeah, that's
You showing up at the BET Awards, but yeah, come on, bro.
That's a Mamba size shadow.
Unless you're The Rock, unless you're somebody famous with esteem and have money, like, okay, well, we understand, like, you.
Well, you gotta. Yeah, I mean, you gotta be in that similar tax bracket. I would assume.
Yeah, I try to say Paul Gasol
Paul Gasol was like messing with her at one time. And I think Paul Gasol was married, but he was like trying to say, yeah, he's been like taking her on dates or something. And I was like, come on, bro.
That's really? I don't think he'll break that type of bro code. That's not, you can't do that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the answer on that, man.
I would believe Jerry Fisher would do some crap like that.
Yeah, dude.
that man. Mm-mm. So, fellas. So let's have a couple of lightning round topics. So me, I am the biggest WWE fan in the world. I have been a member.
Give me a second.
I am a member, certified member of the WWE universe. Okay. So I have a Mount Rushmore that I thought about for years, and I have certain individuals in it. But I want to hear from you guys. So, Crook, who are the individuals who are in your wrestling Mount Rushmore?
Now, is it just WWE or is it all wrestling? Okay, cool. All right, not in any particular order, even though I'll probably say my favorite. Okay. So, Hulk Hogan is on about my Mount Rushmore. Ultimate Warrior was my favorite growing up. So he was the first Ultimate Warrior, or maybe the second. Anyway, and he's Ultimate Warrior's on it. And then third would be Rock would be on Mount Rushmore. And then somewhere up there was my favorite wrestler. Well, my favorite WCW wrestler, which is Sting.
Okay.
So we got Sting, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and The Rock.
Okay. So E, who are your members of Mount Rushmore?
Okay, no particular order. It's going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's going to be The Rock. It's going to be Roman Reigns. And it's going to be Ric Flair.
Okay. All right. So for me, I'm looking at Hogan, looking at Macho Man Randy Savage. Mm. I am looking at John Cena, and I am looking at The Rock. Those are mine. And notice that nobody mentioned Macho Man. I love his entire persona.
Macho Man was dope.
Yeah, he's somebody that, like, if you're a personal pick, he's not a GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a GOAT. Everybody that's been named on this whole podcast, Macho Man would never be considered a GOAT. But if you're just a purist and just love watching him talk and work, then yeah. But there's no way you can put him over Shawn Michaels. There's no way.
As far as performance, probably not as far as
performance and on the mic, bro. Performance and on the mic.
No.
I mean, you can understand what he was saying. I mean,
you can say the same thing about a lot of these guys. But
who on my Mount Rushmore couldn't talk?
Okay, well, okay.
Says Stone Cold,
okay.
The Rock,
okay.
Roman Reigns, and Ric Flair.
So Roman Reigns can talk until 4 years ago. Let's keep it 100. Shout out to Pensacola. Shout out to Scammy High School alumni.
He is a GOAT. He is a GOAT, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. He is a GOAT.
But as far as performance, what you would consider a 5-star match. No, I would say no when it comes to just pure performance. But you can say the same thing for The Undertaker. He puts, obviously, we're talking about, before, I would say, the last three WrestleManias, he could do a 5-star match. But, as far as on the mic, I'll put Macho Man on the same wavelength as Michaels. He's not the same wavelength as The Rock, but I would put him in the same wavelength as Shawn Michaels. Yeah.
I strongly disagree with you. I know we're short on time. I wish we had more time to jump into this, but I will tell you this. I am really, really shocked that you did not put Triple H on your Mount Rushmore, knowing that we grew up as kids and you were the game. It's almost disrespectful in a way. How you just took and slandered
performance
and destroyed this man's legacy.
Great performer.
Episode.
It was four, not five. It don't matter.
He grew up as the game.
I'm still the game. But
he started.
I digress. I digress. So I digress. Last topic. Actually, we got a few more seconds. Last quick topic. How long is too long for us fellas to get ready? to go out, dinner,
hour,
date, whatever.
Hour, and anything past the hour is too long.
Same here, past an hour. Nothing past an hour.
Same here. We all agree. All right.
Okay, good. All right, so guys, thank you very much for watching us. Top 1%. Be on the lookout for the merch. And as I always say, fellas, thank you very much. Stay tuned.
Thanks again for listening to the Top 1% podcast. For more information on upcoming shows, follow us on Facebook at From the Mind of Elrico Tunstall or wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us next time for more thoughtful insights and outlandish takes from the Top 1% crew, where the conversation is always all gas, no breaks.